Mini episode 382 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.info.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another very special joint edition of Sportsology Radio and the FDH Lounge, specifically FDH Lounge mini episode number 382. This is FDH managing partner Rick Morris, along with my good friend, Sportsology proprietor and FDH Lounge longtime dignitary Russ Cohen. We are gathered here today to speak about Olympic hockey, to give a preview for the tournament here, the games upcoming in Sochi. What, for my money, is always one of the greatest events on the athletic calendar everywhere. I love me some Winter Olympics in general, but the hockey tournament with the NHL players, the all-star tournament that it has become ever since 1998, is second to none. It is truly, truly outstanding. As I know, my man Russ Cohen subscribes to that notion as well. Russ, it's about to get underway, my man. I can barely contain myself.
I know. It's a lot of fun. I like this time of year. I'm still out covering NHL games, but now soon they'll take a step back, and the Olympic stage will be in the forefront.
Absolutely. They've got the travel time built in. I guess this weekend is going to be the wrap-up of the NHL season until the Olympics are just about complete and behind us. Meanwhile, without the hockey players, the games are opening in Sochi this Friday, and aside from unfinished accommodations / crappy accommodations being a terrorism magnet and a general sense of totalitarianism in the air, aside from that, you couldn't ask for a better spot for these Winter Olympic Games. And again, at least we have the hockey tournament to look forward to, as well as all the other great events as well. And it's really going to be a special thing here with all the great players that are out there. Some notable snubs from some different countries, and as we're going through and we're looking at some of the favorites, I guess we can kind of look at that as well. But I know that from talking to you that we did want to get into a little bit about the women's bracket as well. The United States team is something that you are always involved in covering with Sportsology, and you have some insights clearly on how they're going to be doing in the tournament. So anything you think we should know about the women's tournament, please take it away.
Well, for women's, I would say, excuse me, keep an eye on the Lamoureux sisters. They're twins. They're very talented. Jocelyn seems to be a little bit more talented. Sometimes she can get up to two goals a game. But these girls now, I believe, have the ability and the moves of some players, men's players of like the 70s. I think women's hockey has come really far. And when you see some of these women dangling and stick handling, you'll be very impressed, especially if you haven't watched in a while. So that'll be fun. Hillary Knight is another one. She's out of Wisconsin and could be a real scoring threat as well. They have good goaltending. They have a good coach. They came up with silver in Vancouver. It's hard to say if they'll beat Canada or not. Unfortunately, we don't know if anybody else is going to be real tough, although I understand Finland might be getting back in it. You know, last Olympic, the U.S. team was winning games 12 and 13 nothing until they faced Canada. So we don't know how good it's going to be overall, but we're expecting a U.S.-Canada final. And in Canada, I believe it's Jennifer Botterill's last games for them, and she's their superstar. And they're going to be stacked to have I think it's Shannon Sabatos in net. Excuse me. And she's a pretty high-profile goalie as well. So they have a great team as usual, and it should be a lot of fun. But I expect some scoring. I think there'll be a lot of scoring.
Absolutely. And as you said, particularly in the games against some of the overmatched teams, as was the case last time. But is it a case, would you expect there to be a fairly high scoring if it comes to what looks to be that U.S.-Canada final there? Do you think we have the chance for, like a 6-4 kind of a game or something like that? Or do you think it would necessarily be kind of lower scoring with the defenses involved in the goaltending.
Yeah, I think it'll be high scoring up to that point, and then that game has been sort of like a normal game where, but I think even this year you might see something like 4-3, you know, something in that range. I think you'll see some goals. There's an awful lot of talent on that ice, and they really do focus on playing defense first, but they get a lot of deep offense off their defense. They do.
Well, that's what the particularly skilled players on the blue line are able to do. So it should make for a very interesting and very competitive final from the way that you're describing it. Over on the men's side of the bracket, I have to say that's where the hockey enthusiasts like myself are much more familiar with what's going on, because it is pretty much the household names in the world of hockey, by and large, the best players in the world. We could quibble and say that there are a few exceptions to that, but just about all of the best players are going to be represented in Sochi. We were talking about the United States there with the women. I guess let's lead with the men. When you look at the roster, the big headline, of course, that came from when the teams were announced was that Bobby Ryan will not be representing for Team USA, a guy who has got 30-goal potential year in and year out. So when you look at it, I guess they didn't feel that he fit in with the speed game, essentially, that they were looking to go with. It's a young Team USA. It's a team that should have pretty solid goaltending. Ryan Miller, who quarterbacked them to the silver medal last time around, may very well be the one in net. You've also got Jonathan Quick and Jimmy Howard there as well. A defense that looks to be good but not great to me. They look like more or less a borderline medal team. How do you score it, Russ?
No, I think that's pretty fair. Miller is really having an outstanding year, and unless Quick really shines in camp, I would expect Miller to win out. The thing about Ryan is I covered him in the World Juniors with Team USA, and that team was a little underperforming, and he was on it. So, and I'm not exonerating Team USA for not picking him, but I think they might have looked back at that and said, well, that wasn't a great tournament for him. Maybe he's not the best on international ice. As far as defense goes, you know, you will have Ryan McDonagh there, and Ryan McDonagh, if you haven't been watching him night out, he's been terrific. He's really been the Rangers' best defenseman. He has really come on the last 2 years. Now he's scoring some points, but just absolutely strong on the play. I would expect him to be one of their top guys. I agree with you. They don't have the best defensive squad there. They have enough offense. You know, they have guys like Callahan and Stepan. They wanted to have some familiarity there. I think they have a pretty good mix. If you want to go down the list, I don't have the list in front of me, but I like the U.S. team, but I do happen to think they're probably going to come in third or fourth.
You know what? And that's where I got them slotted, actually. And I'll tell you specifically where as we go along, because there's a scenario that I see shaping up for the bronze medal game that would kind of inform.
Blue line, just so, and I'll evaluate. If you want to read them real quick, if you have them in front of you.
Yeah, the blue line is Carlson, Falk, Fowler, Martin, McDonagh, Orpik, Shattenkirk, Suter. And, again, the last two names as well are guys that I would kind of focus on as well in terms of being important. And you did well to bring up McDonagh. So they're probably going to form the core of the unit there as well. So in terms of special teams, in terms of when you're putting them out there for the penalty kill and the power play, respectable, but they clearly, I mean, nobody has the blue line depth of Canada, but the United States I don't think really even comes close.
You know, I wouldn't say that because Fowler and Shattenkirk are really gifted on the power play, really gifted. And I think
that's true.
Shattenkirk will be the top power play guy. I think Fowler will be the second. I think Suter, Shattenkirk would be the first pairing, and maybe you're going to go with McDonagh, and then maybe it's going to be Fowler. You know, that's pairing, but I think that'd be okay if he were, because he's not the best skater out of that group, but is a tough guy, and you definitely need him. I think it's a more offensive blue line. Like, that's like guys like Justin Falk, he's gotten better at defense, but he's still mainly an offensive defenseman, and another gifted power play guy. They really have three guys I could run the power play at any time, and I wouldn't have any problem with them. So I'm not worried about their power play. I'm more or less worried about just their overall scoring. I think when you go down the list of their offensive players, it's really good, but it's not spectacular like Canada or Russia.
Well, yeah, and in terms of what we've talked about with their offense, that's actually a very good point you made about some of the puck movers on the blue line. That's a good thing for Team USA that we have that because, again, that offense can probably use a hand against some of the other teams that we're going to be going up against. I certainly hope I'm wrong as far as pegging USA for third or fourth. I will be rocking my Uncle Sam hat during the games here. So I certainly hope that I'm wrong. And again, this team, it wouldn't shock me if the bigger things than that. But in moving right along here, you mentioned Canada. So our neighbors to the north slash America's hat, they have to come in as, I would say, the favorite for the tournament, I would think, because, again, depth of forwards, depth of defense, to a certain extent, depth of goalies. They don't necessarily have the best goaltending situation out of any of the teams that are going to be there, but they're probably not far from the top as well. Canada, again, when you look at the players that didn't make the team, that kind of says it all. Martin Saint-Louis almost didn't. Is a late addition for his Tampa Bay teammate, Steven Stamkos, who unfortunately didn't make it back in time. But again, I know you and I previously have differed a small amount on the worth of someone like Claude Lemieux and whether he's a top 10 player in the league right now. But to me, the fact that he doesn't make the team tells you all you need to know about the depth of Canadian forwards.
Yeah, there's no question. There's huge depth there. They did put Saint-Louis on, which was good, although I could make the argument for Claude Giroux. Saint-Louis was certainly the hot guy on fire when they picked the first time, and now Giroux's actually been maybe the hottest player or one of the three hottest players in the last month. So clearly they don't pick who's doing well now where I would do that, but that's just me. Their goaltending could be a little bit interesting. I mean, is Roberto Luongo going to be their top guy? I certainly, you know, he was on a gold medal squad, but I don't think anybody thinks he's the same. So I think there's a little bit of a downgrade for them in net. I don't know what you feel about their goaltending, but I don't think it's as strong as it used to be. I mean, we used to really look at Canada and say it was unbelievable. You know, Carey Price, Mike Smith, really good. Are any of them really locked down? Not really, not in my eyes.
No, and that's what I said, and I agree with what you're saying as far as the Canadian goaltending is up there, but when you're comparing it to certainly what the Swedes have or the Finns or some of the other ones, and now again, the Finns can't really stand up to the Canadians in most other areas, but again, yeah, who it's going to be out of those three guys, I mean, Luongo does have the legacy of having been in net last time. I don't know to what extent that sways them, at least initially. Price is, I would guess, probably the guy who's next in line, given that, you know, if this were 2 years ago, I think Mike Smith would probably be the guy hands down, or roughly about two years ago. But how do you see it shaking out if they decide to make a quick hook on Luongo in the tournament?
No, I think then it would be Carey Price. I think we should talk about their defense, though, which is really spectacular. And this could be their saving grace. I mean, it's Shea Weber. A lot of people ask about Marc-Edward Vlasic because they don't get to see him play, and he's one of the more quiet, really great lockdown defensemen in the league, so that's pretty solid. P.K. Subban, Peter Angelo, Duncan Keith, Drew Doughty, even Jay Bouwmeester, who's really almost not in the class of some of these guys anymore, even though this year his team, St. Louis, is doing great. I like them all, and I think that's really the strong part of their team. Again, an all-star team on offense, right? You've got Tavares and Taves and Saint-Louis and Crosby and Jeff Carter and Jamie Benn and Therese Bergeron, Rick Nash. They shouldn't have any trouble scoring, but they might give up some goals. And I still think at the end of the day, that's what's going to be their undoing because we've seen these kinds of tournaments and, you know, you would think, oh, wow, they're going to score five goals a game, but you know, somehow they don't. Not every game. They'll get through the prelims pretty easy, and then I think they'll have a hard time. I really think, to me, Team Russia is the favorite.
Very interesting as we get to Russia here, but one more point on Canada as well, and we will see this with a number of the top teams, but in terms of the offense, it's not merely that you have the firepower, but because Canada is going to roll four lines of just, you know, M80s out there, but you have, as the top teams in this thing do because of commonality of the NHL squads here, the chemistry that comes with it. You can put Crosby and Kunitz out there together. You can do it with Sharp and Taves. You can do it with, I'm looking to see here, Getzlaff and Perry. So you have the ability to put guys out there who are around one another all the time, who have that kind of, you know, chemistry that they have developed in the NHL that they're bringing over to Russia here. So when you're going into an all-star tournament of this nature, you have that advantage there. Not necessarily Canada more than anybody else among the tippy-top teams here, but it's just striking to me some of the possibilities that they have as far as capitalizing on pre-existing chemistry.
Yeah, and I'm not sure how that's going to work out. I mean, I know some teams are preparing for that, but I still think dynamics change when the ice is bigger, when you're playing against defensemen that are in a different system, you're playing against a different coach. To some degree, it's a different team. So even though people know Dan Byles, one of the U.S. coach, he's going to coach differently in a bigger game like that with bigger ice. So I think some of those dynamics change. But here's the thing about Team Russia. They really can roll four lines with anybody. I mean, and I do mean anybody. We don't know if Datsyuk will play. It seems like he's going to. Let's assume he's going to. They've got Ovechkin. They've got Malkin. They've got Kovalchuk. Now they've got Semin, who's back on there. They've got, let's see, I'm just scrolling through here. Artem Anisimov, who I really think the world of, and he's starting to really come around. Nikolai Kumelin, who's been really good for Toronto. Valeri Nichushkin, the young star for the Dallas Stars. He can play on big ice. Let me tell you, that's a guy who in the World Juniors had dominated. So they've got some amazing speed there. Tarasenko in St. Louis is tremendous. Radulov, if you remember him from Nashville, another terrific player, big guy who could skate. So they've got forwards. On defense, you may not know some of these players, but they could play. Like Fedor Tuten, we know, and Slava Voynov, we know. Those are going to be their main guys. And Nikitin from Columbus is pretty good, too. Markov, you should know Markov, right, from Montreal.
Yeah.
He's a really great power play guy. And they have Emelin, and they have Belov. And they also have a guy, Medvedev, who I really like. And we don't get to see him here. He's really good in the KHL. So that's something where if you look at that, you say, all right, you know, what about net? Well, Semyon Varlamov is having the year of his life. If you go look at how he's doing for Colorado, that's a big reason why they're competitive.
Well, that's a real choice because you got Sergei Bob there in Columbus and how he's been playing, carrying over his winning season last year when he had won the Vezina Award and really sustaining it in a way that Steve Mason did not a couple of years ago in Columbus. So a very, very interesting possibility, and with so much at stake. I mean, I know it's not the old Soviet Union where making the wrong move could literally cost you your head, but I still would not want to be the Russian coach having to make that decision because if you don't win the tournament, all eyes could be pointing your way.
No, but I'm pretty sure Varlamov is the guy. He's got more experience than Bob. Nobody cares overseas if you won a Vezina, unfortunately. And so I think that's what you're looking at. But again, those are the three of the teams that we're talking about, we haven't talked about Team Sweden yet. And they're, you know, they could really pull something too. I mean, that's a team headed by Henrik Lundqvist, who maybe some were worried about his goaltending this year. I wasn't, but a lot of people were. And now I don't think they're so worried. And going into the Olympics, he's as hot as can be too.
Yeah, he's rounding into form nicely. Before we really delve into Sweden, combining them with the other three squads we looked at here, I mean, I know it's the Chalky McChalkerson angle, but I'm saying those are the four teams that are going to be going at it for the medals. Do you pretty much agree that those are going to be the four that we're looking at when it's all said and done?
I do, but we never want to say the Finns are completely out, but yes, that's who I'm going with.
Okay. All right. Just curious there. But, yeah, I mean, in looking at it, I mean, I like – Their offense, I don't love it relative to Team Canada or to Team Russia. I mean, you've got the Sedins in there. You've got Zetterberg, who, yes, I'm a Red Wing honk, but I think anybody will tell you he is the ultimate big game guy if he's really able to bring it physically in there. And he's been a little bit banged up over the last several months. But Louis Erickson and Franzen and a number of the other guys in there, Landeskog. So how do you rate their offense against
line.
Somebody?
I'm going to read you their lines, and then I think we'll rate it, okay?
Oh, sure.
So,
okay.
Top line, Daniel Sedin, Henrik Sedin, Louis Erickson. That's a real good line right there. That's a,
nice.
You want to talk about familiarity. There's some familiarity, right? Then you've got Gabriel Landeskog, Henrik Zetterberg, Alexander Steen. How's that line?
Pretty good.
Pretty good. Pretty good, and Steen's having a career year. Then you've got, well, Franzen's not making it, so I guess Hagelin's going to move up in this spot. I'm going to say Hagelin, Nick Backstrom, Patrick Hornqvist. Again, good role player with two really fast guys. Hagelin can burn it. Backstrom all around is tremendous. That's real good. And then your last line will have maybe Gustav Nyquist, Marcus Johansson, Daniel Alfredsson. Is Daniel Alfredsson going to be on the fourth line? He might be. I don't know.
He might be. And I will say this as well. In the same breath of what I'm talking about with the Swedish forward depth relative to other countries, anytime you got Nick Backstrom on the third line, that's kind of a mouthful.
Yeah. So, offense really for – I think actually, you know, and we didn't talk about JVR for the U.S. He's going to be counted on a lot. But I think offense for a lot of these teams, you might look at the U.S. as being more offensively challenged than some of the other teams, no? I mean, you know, based on
– I absolutely do. I agree with that, unfortunately. I mean, we're going to need to rely on
that. We love Zach Parise, mm-hmm. but he hasn't really come back to form like he did a couple of years ago. So if I'm going to say who's better, you know, Zach Parise or Landeskog, Zetterberg, or Steen, well, I don't know. Parise might be the fourth guy in that conversation, and, you know, he's a first or second liner.
Yeah, and again, it's what have you done for me lately. It's how it carries and going into the tournament, you look at the blue line, anyone that starts with Erik Karlsson necessarily puts you in a position of great strength. From there, you've got Ekman Larsson, Cronwall. You've got some nice names there. Ebeler, how would you rate the Swedish defense relative to, say, Canada?
I think it's good. It's not as good as Canada. I think with those top two, you've got some really quality offensive defensemen and speed. I think after, like, your third defenseman, after your Cronwall, maybe it takes a little bit of a hit. You know, Enstrom is kind of small, though, and although he could be great on the power play. Hedman's having a great year, too. So, really, you know, maybe you're worried about their 5 and 6, but they could roll 4 with anybody, and I think that's really what you're looking at. So I don't see that as being a problem. We know Lundqvist is the goalie. I think this is the team that you worry about with the hot goalie. Because of all the teams we mentioned, Lundqvist is the best goalie of any of these guys that we've talked about. Agreed?
Absolutely, yeah. In terms of the big four that we've discussed thus far, and really, I mean, that's what sets up Sweden to be, and not just because of the geographical neighborhood here, but really kind of like the rich man's Finland, are they not? Because Finland rolls Tuukka Rask out there. Sweden has got Hank and all these other guns behind them. They're not just a one-man show.
Yeah. No, and that's the thing. I mean, we can go down the Finnish roster, and they're not going to be quite as good in front of them as, you know, Lundqvist will have in front of him. So, yeah, we look at that and we say, wow, if Lundqvist were to only give up one goal a game, two goals a game, they could win an awful lot of games.
Absolutely. And for Finland, they're going to be predicated on keeping it low scoring as per usual. The guys out there, again, when you're looking at some of the bigger guns on the team being, for example, say the Jokinens, that's what kind of shows you the difference. And when we start to go down a tier between the big four, if you will, and some of the other countries in there, Finland's got a decent showing as far as NHL players, but not nearly on the same level as we're talking about the thinness in some spots maybe of the U.S. relative to other countries. it really kind of puts it into perspective when you consider, say, the United States versus Finland.
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, again, the U.S., if we're going to go through lines, I just found their line combination. Maybe Parisi, Pavelski, and Kane, that's a tremendous line. Like, Parisi might be the worst guy now on that line, which is saying something. Patrick Kane, tremendous. So that's a great top line. You've got JVR, Kessler, Phil Kessel. Kessel's having a career year. Maybe there's good familiarity between him and JVR. Kessler never hurt you. But then there's a bit of a drop-off. I mean, Max Pacioretty is a hell of a player, but he's a big guy. And will he be able to jar pucks loose? I don't know. Pacioretty, Backes, Oshie is a good line. It's not a sexy line. And then maybe the fourth line, Dustin Brown, Paul Stastny, Ryan Callahan, a very hard-working kind of line, but not like a great high scoring. So that's where you could see some of those other teams where they're rolling four lines with a little bit more talent. I'm not trying to denigrate the Canes and the Kessels of the world, but it's just overall, you could just see where maybe they're lacking. I'm going to try and pull up Finland's now. And
while you're doing that, yeah, I'd just like to say about the United States team, as far as the attitude of Brian Burke and some of the guys involved in there when they responded to some of the second-guessing about, oh, you rotisserie nerds, what do you know? I look at it like when you talk about the drop-down after the top two lines, again, maybe I'm –
I was there.
Yeah. Maybe I am guilty of that, but I listen to the names you're rattling off, and I understand that that's not taking into consideration chemistry and everything else,
right.
And God knows, as a Cleveland Cavaliers fan, I certainly know what chemistry means in sports or doesn't mean this year, but I mean, still – Ross, my gut reaction is you don't have room for Bobby Ryan with the drop-off after the top two lines?
Yeah, I know. It's hard to believe. I mean, again, TJ Oshie has speed. I would rather have Bobby Ryan because he could put the puck in the net. Oshie is a very favored, likable guy. They've had him in the USA program forever. He's played in, like, every conceivable tournament. So he gets really every opportunity. And I think, you know, a guy like Backes, I think he's sort of unheralded, but I don't know what he's going to bring in international competition. He's probably played in a couple world championships, but I don't remember how he performed. So that's a thing. But, you know, pulling up Finland, the sad part is that we'll talk about Timo Salani first, and I don't know if that makes them a great roster or if it makes them, you know, a roster that's going to be hoping that one of their older stars can really sort of come through for them. I mean, he's 43 years old. Other than someone like Tanefalo Stevenson, who used to box through that age, and Oldfield, who used to shot put till he was 50-something, we're not used to seeing hockey players this old, so in the Olympics. But I'm looking at the offense, and I'm saying Barkov, really young, talented. Filippola's having a career year. Granlund, like you said, Jokinen, Koivu. It's nice. You know, Lauri Korpikoski, they've got some penalty killers. It's nice. It's not a great offense. So maybe their defense. Let's see. Lassi Kukkonen, who, if you remember, was a top pick for the Kings, and he just never came about in the NHL, is a real good defenseman. He really is. His offense never came around, so he just never was good enough for the NHL. But that's a pretty good guy. Sammy Lapisto, same thing, getting up there in age. We remember him from the NHL. He's in the KHL now. Olimata, you know, Olimata's having a great year, but he's young. Timo Timonen for the Flyers is old. So defense is a little bit off. In net, they're set. I mean, they've got Rask, Kari Lehtinen, and Antti Niemi. Any of those guys are capable of doing anything, but I think at the end of the day, they just don't have the blue line and not enough scoring. And I think that's, even if they play the greatest system in the world, they're coming up short.
Well, in terms of comparing countries and being able to get the kind of solid perspective from that, as far as Solani goes for Finland and how much they would be relying on him, keep in mind that you said for Sweden, Alfie's looking at maybe being on the fourth line. That right there tells you all you need to know about the difference between Sweden and Finland.
Right, and maybe they'll be nice to him and they'll put him on the third, but it's really going to be hard for him to get any higher there at his age with the talent they have. But I'm also going to look at the Czech Republic because we know there's some fun there. They're bringing back Peter Nedved. And, you know, he's in my book, 100 Ranger Greats. But when Peter Nedved was done, he went back through here in Philly and one other team. And trust me when I tell you, he tried, but he couldn't keep up at the NHL level. So I don't know on big ice what he's really going to be able to do. I really kind of question what he's going to do, but Nedved's probably going to play with Yager. They're going to be on a line, and they're going to be fun to watch. They're going to have some magic, even at their age. Don't you agree?
I think so, and you look at some of the players on there, you know, that are nice. Hemsky, Krejci.
Yep.
They got some nice players on there. The timeless Patrick Elias, but I mean, still, they don't really stand up to the other countries offensively. Not even close as far as the big four.
No, and my internet's a little slow. Who's in net for them?
In net, you're looking at almost certainly it's going to be Pavelec. You've got the Alexander Salek and Jacob Kovar probably riding the bench. A nice goaltending situation.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's nice. He's not a lockdown guy. Their blue line's not bad, though. They've got Jidlicky. They've got Rosenthal. Mm-hmm. They've got Gudas. They have Mahalik, who's certainly been around and has won a Stanley Cup even. Ladislav Smid, who's a tough guy. So, their blue line actually, I think, is better than Finland's, to be honest. So, on offense, we mentioned a few of the guys. There's also Plekanec. There's also Jacob Voracek, who's been really tremendous this year for the Flyers, who I cover. You can make the argument that the Czech team is better than the Finnish team. I kind of think they are.
You could definitely make that argument, and it's going to all come down to how much of a neutralizer Tuukka Rask is. Again, goaltending disproportionately important, so he would have a lot to say about that. But, yes, top to bottom, certainly looks to be that way. If we're looking at the seven teams that are always most likely to represent in the quarterfinals, the only one we haven't talked about yet, and, again, like the Czech Republic, slim chances of doing much more than that, Slovakia. They're always an interesting squad. It shows up here. They've always got a smattering of NHL talent as far as the forwards go. Hanzus, Kopecky with the forwards, Mazaros and Sakara on the blue line. Budaj looks like he's going to be in net. So Slovakia looks like they got seventh place written all over them.
Yeah, there's not enough there. And there's other guys to watch. You know, there's some guys on the Swiss team. We've got Mark Streit, who I cover here in Philly, and Zuccarello, who we cover in New York, and so, you know, there's a couple of Swiss guys there, and we've seen those teams upset a game or two, but I feel comfortable with the top four that we picked. I really do.
I think so as well. Is there a squad, before we look at the top four in the medals, that stands out to you vis-a-vis getting that eighth spot in there again, you're going to want to be the number one seed in the tournament because you're going to want to play this team. Now, that can go wrong for you, like with Sweden and Belarus in 2002, but as far as that goes among them, Switzerland, I think, has done fairly well, at least as far as making it that far. Who do you like to be that team?
It could be Switzerland. They have a little bit of goaltending. They have a little bit of scoring, a little bit on the blue line, and I have to look it up and see who their goalie is, but I think they have a fairly good goalie. Let's see. Let me look up Switzerland.
The Switzerland roster.
Yeah.
They're gonna roll with Hiller probably. So that's pretty sweet.
Oh yeah, Jonas Hiller. That's pretty sweet. I think that's the team. I think Hiller can win some of those prelims and get him in there.
I would agree. Yeah, and looking at this, and they got a decent smattering of NHL players. I think they represent, but again, as far as the four teams are going to win in the quarterfinals, and by the way, and this has become my little tradition, I always take the day off of work, the day of the quarterfinals, and park in front of the TV and veg and watch them all.
Yep.
Looking forward to doing that again. I think we know who the four winners are going to be based on what we talked about previously. Let's talk about our picks for the medal round here. In terms of the bronze medal, you and I both said Team USA probably ends up in that game. I'm going to say USA takes the bronze, and I'll tell you why. Because I see them playing Russia, and if Russia's in that game, that's going to be a big, big letdown for them. All things being equal, I think the Russian team's better than the United States team, but I don't think they're going to show up in a bronze medal game, Russ.
I don't like the odds of that. I would disagree. If they played Russia, I think they would lose. But I don't think Russia's going to be in that game. I don't.
You don't think it would? I'm just thinking psychologically, because there's such pressure on them here.
I know.
As far as like ever showing their faces again, you know, if they don't win the gold medal, I think that would be the equalizer. I would agree as far as on paper, I would like Russia's chances better than the United States.
Yeah, I think Russia will actually be in the gold medal game. I really do.
Okay.
And I think And I forget, I believe there's crossover, right? So they probably could play Canada, right? They would be able to play Canada in a gold medal game. I think that's what we're looking at for the gold, and I think we're looking at Sweden, USA in the other. That's what I think we're looking at.
Okay. I was looking at now Sweden and Canada can play in the gold medal game, right? As far as how I understand it? It's Group B and Group C, respectively. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So theoretically, they could, even if you don't feel that that's the matchup. That's my sense, is that it's Canada and Sweden in the gold medal game, and I will take Canada because of the, I'd say, superior depth up and down there. Although, again, certainly not better goaltending. I like Canada better in terms of the forwards and the blue line, and I think that the goaltending could be enough to carry the day as it was 4 years ago against the United States. So I have the last two gold medal winners representing in the gold medal game, with the defending champs coming out on top. But you've indicated how much you like Russia.
Yeah, I really do, but I'm trying to look up, and forgive me because it's been 4 years since the last Olympics, but if Russia can play Canada in the gold medal, then I think that's the way it's going to shake out.
Well, they're in different groups. I don't know the specifics of it. It's Group A and Group B. So does that answer it for you?
Yeah. I think it does.
Because I know you can't if you're in the same group, but beyond that, I'm not really clear on the rules of it.
Yeah, no, I they'll be able to match up, and I do think that's going to be the matchup. I think it's easy to just sort of say that. I think it's easy to diminish the Russian team by saying, oh, there's a lot of stars, we don't know if they're going to play together, but this is their home country. They've been playing together more in tournaments than I've ever seen them before, and rather than just great players. So I have noticed that about them in other tournaments with other teams. So I think in their group, they're going to come in first. I think the U.S. will come in second. And I think, like I said, I really do think it's going to shake out with Russia, Canada. I don't. Could the U.S. do it? Sure. But, there's something about the makeup of the U.S. offense that I don't really like. I think the sweet group is for Sweden, right? Because it's with them, Czech Republic, Latvia, Switzerland, in Group C.
Right.
They've got it made. They're guaranteed to go to at least a medal game in that. And, even Group B, Canada sort of got it made too. Finland and Norway, those are tough teams. But Austria, I guess, if Thomas Vanek scores 6 goals a game, but so they have it kind of easy too. If you think about it, I mean that's another one. The U.S. actually has it tough with Russia in theirs. They really do.
Well, Russia and Slovakia.
The
Slovakia game is not going to be a layup. It's pretty funny, by the way, the number of times that we've had Kenny Albert on the show. We've always talked Olympic hockey with him, and about how he commented on, I think last time he drew Slovakia for like all 7 of their games in the tournament for some reason. Don't know if it'll line up that way again. That'll be one of the first questions I ask him next time he's back on, is how many Slovak games he covered, because I certainly remember that. But in looking at this here, that would be a fascinating dynamic for Team Canada if they're playing Russia in the gold medal game, because you look at the history of it, it would be very similar to, and I can't even believe it was this long ago, 12 years ago in Salt Lake, having to battle the United States on their home ice, and it would be the exact opposite of 4 years ago on their home ice. The Russians will be in the skates, as it were, of the Canadians 4 years ago, trying desperately to win gold on their own ice, and this time it will be Canada having to do something about it.
Yeah, I just think a guy like Kovalchuk's going to be really motivated, especially the way he sort of fizzled out with his NHL career. I think that's going to be a factor. I think Ovechkin, who's having a tremendous goal-scoring year, he's probably the guy you have to watch out more most in this whole tournament, if you ask me, because now on a bigger surface, it's going to be harder to cover him.
Right. Yeah, it's going to make it that much more difficult if that's the case. So I'm saying as far as gold, silver, and bronze, Canada, Sweden, United States with the Russians on the outside looking in. Who do you like for the bronze medal? Do you like the United States?
Yeah, I like the U.S. for the bronze. I think they could beat Sweden in the game. I mean, maybe Lundqvist gets a little tired. He's had a pretty pretty hectic year, and so I think that that's something that could definitely happen. So I think if the U.S. got in that game, I think right now Ryan Miller's playing on the same level as Henrik Lundqvist. I mean, it's pretty close.
Well, I'll leave you with this, Russ. How's this for an optimistic note? Everybody's always wondering what the bookend to Lake Placid is going to be. What if the next time the United States won the gold medal, it was to do it in Russia? There's something nobody would have seen coming.
No, that's true. That would be really tremendous. We would all love that. It would be a lot of propaganda. I just the way that whole thing is going there, I don't know what Putin's going to do if his team loses. You know, they've been storing snow in the freezer for 4 years, which is kind of ridiculous because they don't have any snow there. I don't know if it's going to be 60 degrees when the events start. Hockey is hockey, so at least, you know, that'll get played indoors, and the worst you have there is some slippery ice. But outdoors, you just, you know, you kind of wonder how that's going to play out. But, yeah, that would be pretty historic, no question about it.
That really would, and I've been reading that there's been roundups there, that the authorities have been doing roundups and executions. I forget if that was stray dogs or gay citizens. I forget. It was one of the two. I know. I definitely remember that that was the case. But
Here's the odds. I'm gonna read you the Olympic odds. Ready? Canada 2-1, Russia 9-4, Sweden 9-2, U.S. 6-1, Finland 11-1, Czech Republic 12-1, Switzerland 33-1, and I don't need to really go further. Except Slovenia is 1,000-1 with Austria.
U.S. at 6-1, I kind of like that. I mean, it might be a little bit of a sucker bet, but, yeah, the fact that it's a little bit longer odds than the other quote-unquote big four, that's definitely the best as far as that goes. And, again, for anybody that wants to check out any stuff for playing Fantasy Olympic Hockey with the draft boards in there and our guide for the medals as well, we've developed a separate game for drafting countries based on the medal count here, Fantasy Sociology 2014. You can find that at fantasydrafthelp.com and, of course, at Sportsology, a joint production as always. Okay, yeah, well, in plenty of time here for everybody, so they can all check that out. But, again, Russ, a pleasure as always, my man. Nobody better to break it all down with than you.
I appreciate it. I need one more minute. I wanted to just say, this has been a really sad day for me and maybe for Indians fans because, you know, Ralph Kiner passed away and he was on the Mets original announced team from 62, obviously a Hall of Famer. When he retired, he was fifth in the league in home runs, actually. That's how long ago he retired. And he was a big-time slugger, hurt his back. He probably could have hit 500 homers if he didn't hurt his back. But he was a feared homer hitter, a great broadcaster who told great stories. And I do have a baseball card of him on the Indians, so I don't know if Indians fans have any thoughts about Ralph Kiner, but we'll all miss him because he was fun for baseball. He was an institution.
He did not make much of a mark in town, to be perfectly honest with you, because his best years were elsewhere. But I will admit, as a bandwagon Mets fan as a kid in the mid-'80s, I watched Kiner's Corner on cable, the WOR games, and really enjoyed that. I still got a Mets painter's cap somewhere around my place here that hasn't fit me for a long, long time. So, yeah, I would say
that for too many years. My dad wore that for too many years. I think I threw it out on him.
Yeah, I've got this crappy little painter's cap. But, yeah, no, I saw your note on Facebook about him today, and that was the first I heard of it, and I was saddened to hear of it. R.I.P. Ralph Kiner, a true great, a class act, and, somebody who really meant a lot to the world of baseball. Glad that you brought that up, Russ. And, again, like I said, a pleasure to break it down with you as always. I hope that folks check out Fantasy Sociology 2014 at our respective sites here, as I know that they will. And what a great tournament it's shaping up to be. Can't wait to see it.
Thanks, Rick. Take care.
Thanks so much, buddy. Take care. And thank you all for tuning in today to the FDH Lounge with Sportsology.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.